Daf is Yuma Daf Ayin Tes. We left off on Daf Ayin Chesamid Beis in the first wide line at the two dots on Ayin Chesamid Beis. Today we're going to discuss the shear of Koseves Hagasa for Achila and Yom HaKippurim. But before we do that, on the bottom of Ayin Chesamid Beis, we're going to finish up the discussion of different exceptions to the Isser to bathe on Yom Kippur, the Isser to Avnilas HaSandal on Yom Kippur, who is permitted to do those things on Yom HaKippurim. On Ayin Tesam Lalf, we can get into the discussion of the shear of Koseves Hagasa. First, we're going to discuss, when we talk about Koseves Hagasa, does that mean with the pit or without the pit? And then we're going to have the exact relative to a kibetza. How big is a Koseves Hagasa? Is it larger than a kibetza or is it smaller than a kibetza? So we're going to have the Shita of Rabba on Amud Aleph that a Koseves Hagasa is larger than a kibetza. On Amud Beis, halfway down the page, we're going to have the Shita of Rav Zvid that it's smaller than a kibetza, and the ensuing discussion on the, within each opinion. Now the Gemara is going to go on a little bit of a tangent to discuss whether peros need to be eaten in a sukkah, because in part of the discussion of figuring out whether koseves is larger than kibetza, smaller than kibetza, we quote mara mekomos in sukkah. We find that very often, that toward the end of one mesechta, we already start discussing inyanim relating to the next mesechta. We do sukkah after Yuma, so we're gonna discuss the issues relating to mesechas sukkah, relating to achila besukkah. So let's begin again from daf ayin ches amud beis and the first wide line at the two dots. Hamelech va'akala yirchutzu es pneim. So he said, a melech and a kala are allowed to wash their face on Yom HaKippurim. So the Gemara says, Masnis Mani, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. Our Mishnah seems to be assuming like the Shita of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. The Tanya, a melech va'akala lo yirchutzu es pneim. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion omer, Mishum Rabbi Lazar, a melech va'akala yirchutzu es pneim. Even though the Tanakhama says that even a melech and a kala may not wash their face on Yom HaKippurim, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion says that yes, they can, in the name of Rabbi Lazar, that they can. Hachaya lo tinulos asandal. Similarly, Tanakama says a woman who just gave birth is not allowed to wear leather shoes on Yom HaKippurim. Rabbi Chanan ben Tradion omer, Mishum Rabbi Lazar, Achaya tinulos asandal. But he said, Rabbi Chanan ben Tradion says in the name of Rabbi Lazar, that yes, she can, she's allowed to wear leather shoes. So my time, a melech, what's the reason, or melech my time, the way the Bach changes it, what is it, what's the reason that a melech is allowed to wash his face? Mishum dechsiv melech biyafyo techzana enecha. Because the Pasuk says that a king is supposed to look beautiful. Melech biyafyo techzana enecha. The Bartanur explains that it's kvodo shel melech, that he's near a na'e, that he looks beautiful at all times, and it's similar to the heter of a kala, that just like a kala has to be na'e be'inei baila, so to the melech has to be beautiful in the eyes of everybody. It's just not a baila, it's not one person, but in the eyes of everybody he has to look good. Others explain that no, this is part of what the Gemara darshins in Masech Sanhedrin daf chaf beis amud aleph, that som tasum alecha melech shetehei a maso alecha. The guy looks like a mess, he looks like a slob, it's hard to have tei maso alecha, it's hard to have that reverence for the king. So it's not an issue of beauty that he should look great, it's just, it's part of the kiyum of shetei maso alecha. If he's not near enough, then there's no ema that's mutal on the am. So that's why the melech has to be beautiful at all times. Kala my taima, why is it that a kala is allowed to wash up? Kadesh lotis kan al bailus, so she shouldn't look disgusting to her husband. Amr le rav le rebchia kala ad kama. How long is she considered a kala for that we're going to give this heter to allow her to wash up her face on Yom HaKippurim? Samar le kidetanya, ein monin tachshitim min akala, kol shloshim yom. Just like the Brisa says, that we don't hold back any tachshitim from the kala for the full 30 days. The context of that statement is at the beginning of the Gemara in Ksuvis. The Gemara talks about a kala shemesa via oima on the day of the chuppah, that they already prepared everything, and the father or mother dies on the day of the chuppah itself. So we say for the 30 days of shloshim, where she's observing avelus, we're still ein monin tachshitin min akala. She can, even though normally in avel you would hold back from giving tachshitin or from using tachshitin, but for a kala, the entire shloshim she's allowed to use tachshitin. So the rishonim and achronim all raise the question. Wait a second. Rashi Maseches Ksubos on this brisa writes that we're matir kol shloshim yom when she's being noeg avelus min adin. We're still matir to wear tachshit, to use tachshitin during the shloshim. So what's the significance of the shloshim yom? The reason we pick the number shloshim is because that's the length of avelus. It's not because it's the length of how long she's considered a kala. Who knows? Maybe she's considered a kala for 6 months. But of course, months 2 through 6, she's ein monin takshitin. She's not an avel anymore. The context of saying shloshim yom was that she's observing avelus. So Machsa Shekel explains that it must have been pashut to Rashi that a woman is not a kala for more than 30 days. The whole suffix is she a kala for as much as 30 days, or maybe only a week, maybe 2 weeks, maybe something less than 30 days. So from the fact that throughout the entire Shloshim, Ein Monin Tachshit Min HaKala, you see that she must be a kala for at least 30 days. But we never had a Havamina that she's going to be a kala for more than 30 days, because if we did have such a Havamina, this would not have proven otherwise. Meaning we cannot prove from this statement that she is not a kala for more than 30 days. All we can prove is that she is a kala for at least 30 days. So that seems to be what the raya is. Hachaya tinel sasandal. We said a woman who gave birth can wear leather shoes mishum tzina because of cold. So the Ran says that she's called a chaya also for 30 days. There are different lines that we draw right after a woman has a baby for how long she's considered to be a chola. So for, let's say, when it comes to fasting in Yom Kippur, for the first 3 days she must eat. She has no option. It's absolutely mechuyev to eat. She's mamish chol sheyesh b'sakana. For the first week, she's still in the category of a chol sheyesh b'sakana if she says she needs it. So if she says she needs to eat, then no questions asked. She eats within the first week if she says she needs it. Then within 30 days, she has din of a chol sheyesh b'sakana for the first 30 days. But the geder is 30 days. So that's the because she's allowed to wear leather shoes because of the tzina. Rabbi Manoach in Shvisa Sasser Paragimel writes that during the Zman Aleda she loses blood, comes out of her body, and the blood is mechamim l'guf, and that's why there's this extra level of tzina. It's considered to be that she's very cold. He said that's the Gemara in Mesecha Sota and Dafir Alef and Beis. The Gemara says that Paro says to the Mialdos Ivrios to know whether to risen al avnayim, to look whether the baby is a boy or a girl. So he gives them a simon, look at the Shas Leda whether it's pun of Lamala or pun of Lamata. A Zachar comes out pun of Lamata, and a Kevah is pun of Lamala, but he gives it. But what does the Chumash say? Re'isan al ha'avnayim. Why are the Ragle Ha'isha called Bishas Leda? I mean, what's he telling them to look at? He's telling them to look in between the woman's thighs. Why are they called the Avnayim? So he says, because Avanim, stones, become very cold. A stone floor is always very cold. So a woman's legs during Shas Leda, because of the loss of all that blood, or for whatever other reason, become very cold. So that's why Dafka uses such a lashon that relates to the tzina of a chaya. Amar Shmuel, imach masakonas akriv, mutter. So Shmuel says, anyone who's worried about being bitten by a snake or anything, walking around barefoot, is going to be dangerous outside. So then you're allowed to wear, anyone would be allowed to wear leather shoes if that's the reason that they need to wear the shoes in order to avoid, in order to protect their feet. Obviously, as soon as they get to where they're going, where that sakana is no longer there, they would then need to remove the shoes. They would then need to go back to not wearing the shoes. Okay, so that's the discussion of those exceptions. Now we move on. The rest of the daf is going to discuss the Isser of Achila on Yom HaKippurim. Ha'ochel ki koseves hagasa. The shir of Achila is koseves hagasa on Yom HaKippurim. Remember when we first read the Mishnah at the beginning of the parak, it didn't just say ki koseves hagasa. It said ki koseves hagasa kimoa ukigarinasa. The size of the fruit and the size of the pit. And Hashosim lo lugmav is chayiv as well. So says Gemara by Rav Papa. Rav Papa had the following shayla. When we say koseves hagasa, koseves sha'amru bigarinasa or below garinasa? When we say koseves, do we mean koseves with the pit or do we mean koseves without the pit? So it seems like a silly question. We just read in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, who bigarinasa and the pit? So Rashi right away says, v'adiktani masnisin uki garinasa mi bayile hechi ka'amar. Kamoa kugarinasa yachad odilmach kamar kamoa o kigarinasa. That the way Rav Papa is asking the question is, yes, he knows that it says ukigarinasa. Vav can mean two different things in Hebrew. Sometimes a vav means and, sometimes a vav means or. So when we say the shir of achila for Yom HaKippurim in our Mishnah, do we mean the size of the date and its pit, or do we mean the size of a date or the size of a date pit, which are roughly the same size, presumably, if that's the shaila? So of course he had the girsa. There's no girsa question in our Mishnah. Of course it said ukigari nasa. He just wasn't sure how to translate that word, ukigari nasa. That's how Rashi understands. Tosos over here doesn't like Rashi's pshat. Tosos points out, Pirush Rashi enem yushav, demai kamibayle, isha lo begari nasa kamar, vaha anan kigari nasa tanan, vimisafkale ig vikigari nasa mamish kamar, odilma, O kigari nasa kumochlas vase maim parakon gadol. And if Rashi suffix is like we said, that it's a question whether the vav means and or the vav means or, so he says vim kain kosevas agas the reisha hainu below gari nasa mikol makom maim esafkale tifshot al karchach ukigari nasa katani dibitervayu misharinan the o kigari nasa. It has to be that it's both, because if it was or michti lo shavu lahadadi, it also says the metzius is off. If it meant or, it would mean that the garin and the kosevis are the same size. He says that's true. The efshal samsim shu shavin kosevis below garin vegarin below kosevis. A kosevis without the seed is not the same size as the seed without the kosevis. So Tosos isn't sure which one is bigger. He says, so whichever one is smaller, say that one, and then he'll know that obviously you're chayef reading the larger one. So whichever one is the smaller of the two shiurim, say that you're chayef reading that, and then obviously you're chayef reading the larger one. So Tosos says, I have a different pshat in the Gemara. V'nir li the farishti mi bailei kosevus agasa de katani hivigari nasa dahenu kosevus kibriyasa im hagarin ukigari nasa de katani hainu perush v'od garin acher below kosevus davutrei garinin. The way Tosan says his proper question is obviously the Mishnah is telling us you need at least the kosevus and the pit that's inside of it. The question is, do you also need the size of an additional date pit? So is the shear a koseves with its own pit, or is the shear a koseves with its own pit plus another date pit? That's the whole question of Rav Papa. Uki gari nasa, does that mean aside from the koseves? Because included in any koseves, you have the pit itself obviously already included in the koseves. So the question is whether there's another pit as well. And a third shot in the Gemara Shaila is the aruch. The aruch quoted by Tosfos over here, Baruch Pirish Baruch Kosevis Peshem Ram Nisim Gonzatzal Garas Begemara De Bnei Marav, based on a girsa in the Yerushalmi. I'll say it outside because it's going to take too long. When we say Kosevis Begarinasa, it means the Tamar Begarin Shabo without the Chalal, without the space, the airspace between the Garin and the Tamar, meaning the way a date pit is situated in the date is the flesh of the date doesn't actually touch the pit on all sides. There's a little cavity of air in between. So the shaila was, when we say kosevis vigari nasa, do we mean just the flesh and the pit of the date, as if you would squeeze it and close up that airspace, that's the size? Or is it the size that it appears, including the airspace that's in between the flesh and the pit of the fruit? That's the whole shaila of the Gemara according to the Aruch. There is a fourth pshat in what the Gemara is asking, and the Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, Maram Chabiv, and Tosefes Yom HaKippurim says that the shear of a koseves is imagarin together with the pit. That Rav Papa has no suffix about. The suffix is that the Tana says hochal koseves hagasa. So when we say koseves, does that mean that when we say koseves hagasa, that has to be a large koseves? Does that mean that it has to be a large date and a large pit, or does it mean a large date with an average size pit, or a large date with a small pit is also good enough? Is it only is the shear a large date that happens to have a large pit as well? That's the way he understands the question. In the Bir Alach in Siman Tafresh Yud Beis in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, he points out that if a person swallows a koseves shlema, let's say a person takes taka, a large date, and swallows the whole thing, the whole large date, so he's not going to be chayev on it, because the garin is not roi la'achila. I mean, we're talking about if a person actually eats a date pit, so you're not chayev, because it's not a meichel. A date pit, it's not a food at all. It's and without the garin, it's definitely, you don't have the shear. The shear is together with the garin. So the Bir Alacha wonders, of all the examples to choose to express the shear of achila on Yom HaKippurim, it's odd that we're going to choose something that if you were to actually eat it, you wouldn't be chayiv. Meaning, if you would when we give it a shira kezayis, so presumably you eat a zayis, you're chayiv. You give a shira koseves, one would imagine. So if you actually eat the koseves, then you'd be chayiv. But if one actually eats a large date on Yom Kippurim, he's not chayiv. So he points out, Bir Halacha points out that maybe based on the riff that there are certain dates that have very soft pits, and if the soft pits could become roi lachila, maybe then it could be that if you eat a koseves, you'd be chayiv if it taka became roi lachila. Rav Zilberstein Chashuk Yechemet discusses what if they grind up the pit and they mix it in as part of the ingredients of the food. So now does it become a meichel that now is mitzarif to the shear, especially since by Yom Kippurim it's all yisuve daita talia milsa. It all depends on being satisfied and not on the lack of inui and not being hungry. So if you actually eat the pit and it was part of a food, even though on its own it's not a meichel. So he raises that suffix whether that would be considered something one would be chayef for. But anyway, so the Gemara Shaila is, so Rav Papa Shaila is when we say the kosevis, is it begari nasa or below gari nasa? So again, four different interpretations of what exactly he's asking. By Ravashi asks the following. Etzem kisaora. When we talk about an etzem kisaora, the size of a small bone that could be metame, is that big klipasa or below klipasa? When we say it's the size of a lentil, that a bone even the size of a lentil could be metame, is that with the klipa around it? Is that with the shell or is that without the shell? So balacha or biyavesha. Are we talking about a moist lentil or are we talking about a dry lentil which also have different sizes? So that was Ravashi's question. So Rav Ashi wasn't bothered by Rav Papa's question about the koseves hagasa on Yom Kippurim because gasa itmar. We make a point to say that it's a koseves hagasa, that it's a large koseves, so kol kama de gasa. That must mean that it's really big, that as big as you can make it. So whatever the shaila was, whichever of the four ways you want to understand the shaila, the answer is the bigger one. So according to Rashi, Rav Ashi is saying the koseves hagasa is to together with the pit, not just the flesh of the fruit, but the pit itself. According to Tosos, Rav Ashi saying koseves hagasa is that it's with, that's not so pashut. According to Tosos points out that Tosos I think says over here what the answer is. No, he doesn't say. But the lechora l'shitas Tosas Rav Ashi's answer koseves hagasa is godol kol kama she'efshar, as big as a date can ever be. Meaning lechora it's the smaller of the two shiurim because to add an extra garin is a little bit strange. We're saying it's a koseves hagasa kol kama degasa, as big as a date gets. But adding another pit, why would you add another pit? So according to Tosas, the answer would be the smaller of the two shiurim. According to the Aruch that we saw, it could be that Rav Ashi is also saying lekula. The gasa is kol kama de gasa. That's the as large as the tamar is, together with the chalal. So that would be lekula to say the larger shear, that it's the larger of the two shearim together with the airspace, together with the chalal. According to the Maram Chabiv, it's that there's no suffix whether it's the koseves with the garin without the garin. So the gasus is also on the garin, meaning that's the definition of a koseves. Maram Chabiv says the baseline koseves means with the garin. So when we say koseves hagasa, it would mean a large garin as well. So according to all the interpretations, essentially except for Tosfos, we're going with the larger shear. According to Tosfos, it would be the answer is the smaller shear. Rav Papa lo mibayle had Rav Ashi. Rav Papa wasn't bothered by Rav Ashi's question about the etzem kesora because lacha shibolus mikri shalobikli pasul ushla mikri. Lacha is called shibolus; it's not called a saora. And shalobikli pasul, if it doesn't have its shell, it's called ushla. It has a different name. So clearly, we must be talking about where it's dry and it's with its klipa. That's why he wasn't even bothered by Rav Ashi's questions. So Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Yehuda, koseves hagasa she'amru isera mikibetza. This is going to be a machlokas in our daf where we have Rabba over here in the middle of Amar Aleph, and we're going to have Rav Zvid in the middle of Amar Beis that argue whether a koseves Hagasa is larger or smaller than a Kibetza. So Rabbi Rav Yehuda says, Kasevas Hagasa Sha'amru is Yoser mi Kibetza. It is larger than a Kibetza. V'kimluhu l'Rabbanan t'bahachi miyas v'dayte. And the Rabbanan have a tradition that that's what it takes in order for a person to be satisfied, in order for a person to have Yishuv Adas from his Achila, and that's what it takes, therefore, to get rid of a feeling of inui. So the mitzvah in Yom HaKippurim is a mitzvah of inui. If you eat enough to be miyas v'dayte, so then one is not experiencing inui. Anything less than that is not miyas v'dayte. Rashi explains that the Rabbah, even though throughout all of Kol HaTorah Kula, whenever we have a shir achila is always because zayis, that's when the Isser or the mitzvah is expressed in a lashon of achila, that we have a lach l'moshe misinei, that the definition of the word achila is kezayis, but by Yom Kippur it's a din of inui, so it's all talu in yisuvei daita. So Hashem is raising the question, all shirim are lach l'moshe misinei, so why does he have to add that kimluhu l'rabbanan, meaning, what do you mean kimluhu l'rabbanan, it's a lach l'moshe misinei that there's a shir koseves, so why is it kimluhu l'rabbanan? So Hashem says, since in the halach that's number b'sinei of a koseves, there's room for a suffix, whether you count the garin, you don't count the garin, the exact shaila we just had, and Rabbi Yehuda said gasa kol kam de'efshar, so we wanted to explain why we assume gasa kol kam de'efshar, because kimluhu l'rabbanan, that gasa kol kam de'efshar is what's miyashiv daite, is what makes a person actually satisfied, but ein achinami, the halacha l'moshe misinei tells us ballpark that we're talking about koseves. It's just a matter of how to know what's included in that koseves. So we assume that the rabbanon have such a tradition that kol kama the miyasva daite. The Zecher Yitzchak brings a raya from our sugya that Yom Kippur is different than other Isuri Achila. By other Isuri Achila, in the fundamental nature of the Isser, by other Isuri Achila, it's all told in the Maisa Achila. By Yom Kippur, Yisuv Daita is in the Totsa'a. Is at the end of the day, how satisfied are you? If a person is Miyas V'daita, he's not feeling a sense of Inui anymore, so then he violated the Isra of Achila in Yom HaKippurim. And he says, that's why the Yerushalmi says that even though there's a discussion whether Chatzi Shir is Asur Min HaTorah in general, in all of Shas we have discussion, is Chatzi Shir Asur Min HaTorah only Asur Min Drabanan? And what's the svara to say that it's Asur Min HaTorah? Is because Chazi Litztarufei, that you could always eat more and that will be Shir Shalom. What's the svara to say it's not Asur Min HaTorah? Because if I eat now a Chatzi Shir and then I change my mind and later I decide to eat another Chatzi Shir, it's not Mitztarif. They're two different Achilos. I change my mind in between. So they shouldn't be Mitztarif. That's the svara for the Shita, that Chatzi Shir is not Asur Min HaTorah. Says Yerushalmi, when it comes to Achilah and Kippurim, everyone agrees Chatzi Shir is Asur Min HaTorah. Why? So says Zecher Yitzchak, very pashut, because by Yom Kippur it's not about the Maisa Achila. When can you say that if I eat a Chatzi Shir now and then I change my mind and I decide to eat another Chatzi Shir later, those two Achilos have nothing to do with each other. This was one Maisa, that was a second Maisa, and they don't combine with each other. That's when you're focused on a Maisa Achila. You did no single Maisa Achila of a Shir Shalem. But when the focus is on the Totsa'a, how much is in my stomach? How full am I right now? So then it doesn't matter whether you change your mind in between and there was a hefsik in between and the two meisim don't combine as one meisim. It doesn't matter if it was one meisim or not. It's b'yisuvei daita talia milsa in the way our Gemara expresses it. It's all talia yisuvei daita. Yisuvei daita is totsa'a oriented. So the totsa'a is that you are satisfied because you ate that amount of food. So that's how he explains. I thought it was very nice biur in the nature of the Yisra Achila on Yom HaKippurim. Meisvei is asking Gemara a question. One time they brought Rabbi Yochum and Zakkai to taste some cooked food, and they brought Rabbi Gamliel two dates and a pitcher of water, and they said, go bring him into the sukkah, we have to eat this stuff in the sukkah. V'tani Allah, we learned to Brisa about that. Lo mipnei shalacha kach. No, they didn't have to eat it in the sukkah. They just decided to be machmir to eat it in the sukkah. They thought it was an appropriate chumrah to take, to eat them in the sukkah. But halachically, it was not required for them to take two dates and a pitcher of water to eat them in a sukkah. The Meiri points out, so what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? So a double chiddush. First of all, the chiddush is if a person wants to be machmir, it's not a violation of yuara. One would have thought that if you're pater from going to the sukkah, when eating such small amounts of food, that it would be a violation of yuara to be makbid to dafka go into the sukkah and eat it there. If you're in the sukkah, already and someone brings it to you, so it's definitely not you already to stay there. But to go out of your way to dafka helum sukkah, let's bring them up to the sukkah and go bring them into the sukkah, one would have thought is a violation of yuara. So that's what the Gemara in Sukkah says, it's not a violation of yuara. And also we see that anyone who's mekel is there's no nidnur avera at all, because the next story we're about to say is the story with Rabbi Tzadok, who wasn't makbid to bring it in the sukkah. So don't think, oh, really frum people are makbid to bring it in the sukkah. If you're not so frum, then you won't. No, it's not yuara to bring it to the sukkah, but it's not a bad thing to not eat it in the sukkah either. Why is it not yuara? Isn't it seems like it should be, right? Something that's absolutely not halakhically required, but someone in Dafka wants to go out of his way to show that he's going to eat it in the sukkah. So the Maritz Chayes points out the reason it's not yuara is because it's not so obvious that it's actually pater, meaning it's something when someone starts eating some fruits in the sukkah, it could look like he's about to start a whole meal, that this is just an appetizer and he's really going to have a whole meal. So since it's not so clear to anyone who sees whether this really is something that's unnecessary or not, so that's why it's not yuara. But something that's clearly and obviously unnecessary, l'chora, would be yuara. And so one of my talmidim have pointed out in the past to ask Rav Schechter, his mother asked Rav Schechter for him. He decided he wanted to wear tefillin mincha every day. After he came back from Israel, he lived in the old city. In the old city, that was a thing to do. Some of the people did. So he wanted to wear tefillin at mincha every day. So his mother sent a shayla to Rav Schechter that my crazy son wants to wear tefillin at mincha every day. So is that an appropriate thing? So Rav Schechter said, it's not mechzi ki yuara. That's yuara mamish. That's the very definition of yuara, to wear tefillin at mincha every day in a place in America where nobody does it. I was thinking, according to Maritz Chayes is gather, what do you think when you see a person wearing tefillin at mincha? Your first thought is that he's so frum? No, your first thought is he missed shachris, right? So I don't know. I'm not sure if it would fit the actual gather according to the Maritz Chayes. Okay, so the first story was, so they brought Rabbi Gamliel these two dates, and he said, I want to eat them in the sukkah, but he wasn't halachically required to eat the two dates in the sukkah. When they brought Rabbi Tzadok food less than a kibetza, so he ate them outside of the sukkah. He did a couple of other interesting things with the food. He was natal b'mapa. Instead of washing on it, he wrapped it in a cloth and ate the food that way by not touching the food. And also, he didn't make a bracha achron on it. So let's focus on those other two things before we get to our main point over here about sukkah. So natal b'mapa, Rashi says he didn't do netilas yadayim because he held that pachas mikshir kibetza doesn't require netilas yadayim. La halacha the shulchan aruch paskins in kufnun ches sif beis that yitol below bracha that pachas mikshir kibetza you should be notal yadayim without a bracha, and the shulchan aruch paskins in kuf samach gimel that krichas mapa only helps b'shas al chak when there's no mayim available. But whenever there's mayim available at a reasonable distance where you can pull off the highway at a rest stop or something and find mayim, so then you cannot rely on krichas mapa. Tosfos writes that Karach Yadav b'mapa, because he was a Kohen and he was makbid to eat chulin b'tahara. So since Yadayim are shneil slatuma, so he's makbid not to touch the food, and therefore he was Karach Yadav b'mapa. So that was Karach Yadav b'mapa. Why didn't he not make a bracha achrona? Why didn't he say birchas hamazon? Because he held ochel pachas mikabetzah is not chayvin birchas hamazon at all. The Yerushalmi says birchas ala michya also he didn't say that. You need a shear for ala michya as well. Tos Yishonim is not sure. What about bar nefashos? Do you need a shir achila in order to say a bar nefashos? Pnei Yeshua says from lashon the brayso of a lo birech achrav sounds like he said no bracha achrona at all, not even bar nefashos, because if he holds birchas hamazonos b'kabeitza, who adin all the other brachas achronos are only chayiv b'kabeitza because they're all derived from birchas hamazon, so they're not going to be chamer min ha'ikar. They're not going to be more chamer than birchas hamazon, which itself is only b'kabeitza. In the Tosfos Maseches Brachos and Lamentas Amud Aleph, Tosfos quotes from the Ri that bar nefashos, since it's a lav bracha chashuva. It's not really a bracha chashuva, so even pachos mikashir, you can make the bracha of bar nefashos. So this is a machlokes rishonim. So the Rush raises the suffix. He's not sure by bar nefashos. Maybe bar nefashos, because it's not a real bracha achrona. It has some sort of quasi status as a bracha achrona. Maybe it's treated like a bracha rishona. The halacha by a bracha rishona is that even if you eat a kol shehu, you're chayiv in bracha rishona. Asal lehanas minol mazeh below bracha. You can't even be nana atcholshu without a bracha rishona. So in some ways, bari nefashos may be treated a little bit like a bracha rishona. The Gemara even has one Amora who I believe, if I recall correctly, made a bari nefashos before eating food. Like that was an all-inclusive kind of bracha. So in some sense, bari nefashos is different than your typical bracha achrona. That's at least a discussion in the Rishonim. Now, why is it that a bracha rishona is bekalshu? The Gemara in bracha says, how do I know you make a bracha rishona? That if you make a kshu sovem varech shurav lo kalshkin, it's kal v'chomer. If you make a bracha when you're satisfied, of course you should make a bracha when you're hungry. So if it's kal v'chomer from bracha achrona, and bracha achrona you only make the bracha of yedek kibetza, so shouldn't bracha rishona also be only if yedek kibetza? So the truth is, maybe if that was the real limud, maybe that would be correct. But the real limud at the end of the day in the Gemara is all lamud trying to figure out where the source of bracha rishona comes from. At the end of the day, the Gemara says it's because it's svarahu asalhanas mel mazeh below bracha. It's just a svar that you can't get enough from this world without a bracha. So it's probably not really from that kal v'chomer. If it were from that kal v'chomer, then maybe in a chinami the shir would be different. But it's probably the limud is not really from that kal v'chomer. But our main point over here, our focus over here, is about sukkah. That when they brought Rabbi Tzaddik ochel pachos mikabetza, less than a kabetza, he ate it outside the sukkah. That was not a problem. He was allowed to eat it outside the sukkah. So let's put the two stories together. First story was two kosvos, two dates were allowed to be eaten outside of the sukkah. Second story was food less than a kibetza was allowed to be eaten outside of the sukkah. But wait a second, from Rabbi Tzaddik, you see, ha kibetza by sukkah, that had the shear been a kibetza, then it would have required sukkah. It was only because it was pachos mi kibetza that he ate it outside of the sukkah. But had it actually been a kibetza, he would have made them go into the sukkah. He would have required eating it in the sukkah. But wait a second, v'yisal kadaita, choseves hagasu sha'amru. Yisera mikabetza, if a koseves hagasa is actually larger than a kabetza, hashta shtei kosos below garinan, lo av a kabetza, koseves hagasa v'garinas, miyavi yisera mikabetza. In story number one, there were two dates without the pits, let's say, but two dates, and that was apparently less than a kabetza, because a kabetza needs sukkah. In the first story, two dates did not need to be eaten in the sukkah. So two dates without the pits is less than a kabetza, but one date with the pit is more than a kabetza. Is it mistaver to say such a thing, that the flesh of the date is smaller than the pit of the date, that you're going to say two dates without the pit is less than a kibetza, one date with the pit is more than a kibetza? So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, so Gemara has two answers. Answer number one, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, in shtei kosos below garinasa no av a kibetza, because of zagas v garinasa, yav yisayir mi kibetza. In a chinami, it's true that if two dates without the pit is less than a kibetza, one kosef zagasa with the pit is more than a kibetza. Amar Rav Papa, hainu damri inchi, you know, this is the expression that people always say, trei kavi ditamari, that if you have two kavin of dates, then you have one kav and plus of pits. One kav v'sariach means plus. One kav and some leftovers. Rashi says, sariach yesh ben kav garinin v'yoser. Alma hagarin yoser min ha-kosevis. So you see the pits are actually larger than the dates themselves. Why does the word sariach mean leftovers? He says it's this week's parasha. Here's a daf yomi coincidence. Parasha's truma. V'sariach loshon odef k'vot tisrach al-acharei mishkan. It describes the curtains that overhang the Mishkan, and there's extra. It has extra give on the bottom that hangs over the Mishkan. So it's a kavod kashias of a sariach. There's one of my favorite svarim. Eli Zaretsky told me that they're doing a series of shiurim in the Yungizel Woodmere, where they're asking different mechanchim in the neighborhood to speak, give a shiur on their favorite sefer. What's your favorite sefer? So Kavod Kashiyasa is one of my favorite svarim. Kavod Kashiyasa is a sefer written by the Chelkas Yoav, the Talmud of the Avnei Nezer, and it has nothing to do with dates or pits of dates, but he uses the phrase Kavod Kashiyasa as an expression. The whole sefer is 103 questions that he has no answers to. So Kava is gematria 103 to kashyasa, so he has it over here. It means pits, but he uses it to mean kashas. 103 kashas that he has no answers to. We're on all the shots from all over the place. 103 questions. Chassam Sofer in his drushes has a beautiful remez over here. Chassam Sofer says that a person has to always see himself as mechza zakai and mechza chayiv. Right, in general, that's how we're supposed to approach life. We shouldn't have yeyush and think that we're totally chayiv, and we shouldn't be overconfident and think that we're zakai. We're going to see Gemara later on in the Masechta about that. On Yom Kippur, Purim, though, he says, a person should think a little more that he needs to do a little extra tshuva, that he's more on the Averis side than he is on the mitzvah side. And he says that in the Shir Achila on Yom HaKippurim, we have a remez to how we're supposed to feel on Yom HaKippurim, because the garin is the psoles, that's the remez to the Averos, the actual flesh of the fruit is the ochel, that's merames to the mitzvahs. So if a person does tshuva, the Averos could turn into mitzvahs, etc. The garin, after you zareah the garin, it grows all the new fruits, a whole new tree will grow, and you'll be able to produce great fruits from that garin, from the Averos, when a person does tshuva. But the way a person's attitude is supposed to be on Yom HaKippurim is that he's a little more than half Averos, just say he's a kavod kashyas v'sareach, got a little more than half on the chayiv side than on the zakai side. Rava gives a different answer. Rava Amar hasam hainu taima mishum tahavul uperi. Uperi lo ba'u sukkah. Rava says, no, the reason they didn't have to bring the two dates into the sukkah was not because it was less than the size of a kibbutz. In a chayim, two dates together is more than the size of a kibbutz, just like one date with a pit is more than the size of a kibbutz. The reason they didn't need to eat it in the sukkah was because it was fruits. You don't need to eat fruit in a sukkah. That's the whole reason. So I asked the Gemara, Meisvei, Amar Rebbe, Kshinu lamdim tareitz al Rebbe Lozer ben Shemua, hevi lufaneinu te'enim va'anavim va'achalnu ma'achilas arai chutz l'sukkah, that they brought in front of us by Rebbe Lozer ben Shemua. They brought figs and they brought grapes, and we ate them in achilas arai outside of the sukkah. Sounds like achilas arai in achilas kevalo, that the fact that they were fruits was not enough reason to eat them outside of the sukkah. It was only because you happened to have eaten them as an achilas arai that they were permitted to be eaten outside of the sukkah. But had they been eaten as an achilas keva, even fruits would have required a sukkah. So how can you tell me the only reason the shtei kosos didn't need to be brought into the sukkah was because it was fruit, and fruit's not a big deal, you're allowed to eat fruit outside of the sukkah? No, an achilas keva fruit, it seems from here, doesn't eat sukkah. And says Gemara, ema achalnum ki achilas arai chutz l'sukkah. It means that we ate them, and since they're fruit, by definition, there are an achilas arai, and that's why we were able to eat them outside of the sukkah, because eating fruit is just like an achilas arai. Iba Yaseima, the other possible answer, achal machilas keva, v'achalnu pas achilas arai bahadayu chutz l'sukkah. No, what they were saying is, we ate the fruits as an achilas keva, and plus we had a little bit of bread as an achilas arai, and all of that was mutter outside of the sukkah. But fruit in any quantity is mutter outside of the sukkah. It's only bread that would be telling on whether it's arai or keva. So the Gemara sticks with the idea that fruits never need to be eaten in the sukkah. Lema Messiah Elen, we'll bring a raya to this. Lefichach of Hishlam Bimini Targima Yatza, the Gemara discusses with Rabbi Eliezer Shita, Mesecha Sukkah, is that one must eat throughout the course of Yontif 14 meals in the Sukkah. Teshuva came to Duru does not mean just doing the sukkah whatever you feel like, just like in your house you do whatever you feel like, and if you're not hungry one day you'll eat less, and if you're more hungry one day you'll eat more. No, Teshuva came to Duru means whatever is the normal behavior for one to do in their house, one must do in the sukkah. And since it's normal to eat two meals in your house each day, one must eat two meals each day in the sukkah. So Rav Lezer Shita's, one must have 14 meals in the sukkah. So we say mirmashlim b'minei targima. The minei targima can count to the meals as well. V'yisal g'daitach peri b'o sukkah l'snei peros. But if peros needed to be eaten in the sukkah, why do we say minei targima? We should say that you have to eat peros, you could be mashlim the yudal sudos by eating peros. So Gemara says that's not a good raya, because my minei targima, peros. Maybe minei targima means peros. V'yibayseima ba'asu lo shkichu piri. Or it could be that we're talking about a place where peros are not readily available, and that's why we talk about mine targima. Now Tosfos points out that ein lilmod mikan sheyo ilu mine targima lahashem shol suudo shel Shabbos mida amar hacha im hishlum mine targima yatza. He says, do not make any diuk from our Gemara that if according to Rav Lezer you need 14 suudos in the week, and one of those suudos you could be mashum with mine targima, so maybe on Shabbos when you need 3 suudos, one of them you could be yotze with mine targima. He says, don't make such a diuk. Because where do we learn the chiv of 3 suudos on Shabbos? It's from the man where it says Hayom three times. The man corresponds to pas, does not correspond to minya targima. So it must be that you have to eat bread when it comes to shalosh shudas. And then Tos says, and even if you were allowed to eat minya targima for shalosh shudas, peros would definitely not count as minya targima. You would not be allowed to eat peros. So that's an odd comment to make. You just got through telling me that you can eat minya targima, and then saying, even if you can eat minya targima but don't eat peros. So that's pretty much how it plays out in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch gives four different shitos as to what you need to eat for shalosh shudas, and he goes in order of preference. He says, yesh omrim, vaysu the shlishas, you need dafka achilas pas. Yesh omrim, mine dagan, at least eat cake or something with grain. Yesh omrim, basar v'dagim, fish and meat. Yeshom mafilu beperos. So he quotes one shita after another. So there is this idea that, yeah, of course it's best to eat pas, but even if you're not going to eat pas, at least eat mazonos. Even if you're not going to eat mazonos, at least eat basar v'dagim. Even if, right, we have this hierarchy of how to eat shalosh shudas. Okay, so that was all a discussion of opinion number one, Rabba's opinion that the Kosevas Agasa is bigger than the Kavetza. Now we move on to Rav Zvid's opinion. Rav Zvid Amar Kosevas Agasa Shamru Chasera Mi Kavetza, that Kosevas Agasa is actually smaller than the Kavetza. It is not larger than the Kavetza, like Rabba said, and we're going to have two rayas to Rav Zvid's opinion, one raya from Chametz and one from Birchas HaMazon. We'll see how far we get. Titnan, Mishnah says by Chametz, by Shama Yomrim Sa'or B'Kazayitz, Chametz B'Kosevas, the Shir of Sa'or that one is chayv on Pesach is a kezayis, chametz the shir is a koseves. V'avinu my time the Beishamai, what's the reason for Beishamai? Nichtav rachmana chametz v'lo ba'isar. So Beishamai's svara is, if the Torah wanted to tell me that chametz and sa'ar are asar, let it just say chametz is asar. It doesn't need to tell me sa'ar. V'anamina, and I'd figure it out on my own. Uma chametz shein chimutz kasha. Asar b'kezayis, sa'ar shein chimutz kasha lo kol shkein. If chametz, which isn't such chametz, meaning it's not able to be machmitz other things, and this the shir is a kezayis, so sa'or, which has the ability to be machmitz other things, so is a stronger form of chametz, I would say kal v'chomer, of course it's a kezayis. So midepalginu rachmana, from the fact that the Torah lists them separately as two separate yisurim, does not rely on that kal v'chomer, limdul chashiru shalzeh, lo kashiru shalzeh. It tells us that they must have a different shir, that chametz must have one shir, sa'or must have another shir. So sa'or b'kezayis, v'chametz b'kikoseves. Sa'or is a kezayis, chametz is the next shear up, is the next shear, the larger shear, next shear larger than a kezayis, which is a koseves. But wait a second, if a koseves is larger than a kebetza, the next shear up above a kezayis would not be a koseves. The next shear up above a kezayis would be a kebetza. V'yisal gadai to koseves agas ha-shamr yaseira mi kebetza. Michti beishamei ha-shir d'nafr mi kezayis kamahadri. Beishamei is just looking for the next shear larger than a kezayis. Listen to kebetza, let him say kebetza. And even if they're the same, even if a koseves and a kebetz are the same size, he still should have said kebetza. So it must be that a koseves is smaller than a kebetza. So says Gemara, it's not a good raya. Maybe a koseves agas is really larger than a kebetza. Hastama kebetza, but a stam koseves is the same size as a kebetza. And granted, it's the same size. Yeah, but why do you have to pick a kebetza if it's the same size? Let him say whichever one. So he has no problem saying a koseves instead of saying a kebetza. So koseves hagasa is different than koseves. So raya number one for Rav Zvid fails. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Elamei Hacha, the second raya for Rav Zvid, how he knows that a koseves is less than a kebetza.